God. I'm going to read tonight from the 5th chapter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter number 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. Verse number 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by restraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples of the flock to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In these verses, Peter is directing his thoughts to the elders of the church that were Jewish believers that had been scattered because of the persecution, and they've been scattered throughout the Middle East, and because of all that they were going through, he's writing to encourage them. And in the next verses, 5 through 9, and I'm not going to read there, but he is speaking to the younger converts that were among them. And then when he comes down to the 10th verse, he says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I want you to note, tonight the church was suffering terribly, not only by the Romans that ruled that part of the world at that time, but they were suffering by the religious leaders, their own people, the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests and the rest at the hands of those. And yet, believers, and when you find out what had been taking place, the believers had been beaten, they had been tortured, they had been ridiculed in every sort of the way, and even, and they'd been cast into the arena with the wild animals. Many of them perished in the arena with wild animals, and many had been burned at the stake. They were going through a difficult time, suffering persecution at the hand of the enemy, and in the midst of all of it being a trying time, the Bible tells me that Peter does not end his letter on a sad note. He looks beyond the suffering, he looks beyond the persecution, and he says, "There's victory and glory ahead. There's victory in serving God, and there's glory for those who love Him." They had a testimony that they would not compromise, that they would not turn their backs on the Lord. They would not bow down to the emperor and have emperor worship. They refused to compromise, and because of that, they were going through a difficult time. But Peter is saying, and this is my text tonight, Peter is saying, there's a better day ahead. There's a better day ahead. Now, again, everyone here tonight, if you have a radio or television or a newspaper, you know that this is election year. We will be electing a president. We will be electing congressmen, senators, and congressmen. Some states will be electing governors, and many cities will be electing mayors and all the rest that goes along with it. And when it's election season, there are a lot of speeches. Some aren't worth listening to, and some are very interesting. But all of them will try to share with you and tell you the vision they have for the future, and they want you to know that the best days are not behind us in the state or in the city or in the country or wherever. The best days are yet ahead. And if you will vote for me, I will see to it that the best days are right out yonder. I'll tell you what I'll do. They will tell us, "I've got a vision for the future, and if you elect me, I promise you that the best days for our country or our state are just ahead." And that's what Peter was really trying to convey to these that were persecuted, these believers that had been scattered, had been forced to leave their homes and leave their jobs and leave their friends and try to make a way somewhere else. And now they're scattered around about, and they're suffering, going through a hard time. And in the 4th verse, Peter said, there's better days ahead. Let me read it again. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Let me leave this with you tonight. When he comes, we won't worry about suffering. We won't worry about persecution. And now Peter is saying, there's a better day ahead. The chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall appear. And when he appears, listen to what he says, believers shall be crowned with glory. We shall receive crowns of glory, the Bible says. I read in the Scriptures that we as believers will have been promised crowns of life, crowns of righteousness, crowns of rejoicing, crowns of glory. And there's a song that we have sung in the course book. I was asking my wife and I was asking Shelley this afternoon about that song, and we were looking for it, and lo and behold, it's in the course book. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Listen, the battle's not over yet. But we're not far from the end. And when the battle's over, and God has promised crowns to those who love Him and serve Him. And according to 1 Corinthians 9, the believer's crown, Paul said, is incorruptible, and it will not fade away. And so tonight I want to read the 10th verse again. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. It's those seven words in the midst of that verse that I want to use for the thought tonight for the sermon. Right in the middle. After that ye have suffered a while. After that ye have suffered a while. Now, I'm not going to tell you anything new tonight, but if you are living, you know we're living in a hurting world. There are problems everywhere. I get calls daily about people desiring help for their mortgage payment, for their utilities, for whatever, for groceries. Sometimes we have given out groceries, and I'm glad for the privilege of doing that, but people are living in a hurting world tonight, and every one of us can know that to be sure. And not only is it physical suffering, but and with sickness and affliction and those things that come out, diseases that come our way, but there's homelessness and so many that are out there without a job or without any income, and we're living in a America that has been blessed abundantly, and yet we're living in a suffering time, and all of this misery and heartache and trouble and sorrow came from one man. Came from Adam, our forefather, when he was deceived, that he fell out of failure in the garden, and he literally turned his back on the Lord and the promises of God, and accepted the offer that Satan made unto him and to them. And I thought from that day, listen closely, from that day until today, this society has gone downhill. Before that time, there was no pain, there was no suffering, there was no heartache, there were no troubles, there were no problems, but when sin came, problems came. And everything, listen, I refute every false doctrine tonight that everything is going to get better and better and better. And I heard it on television, I heard it from across the way, from CBN, I heard it that we are going to have such a revival, that we're going to prepare the land, and God is going to give such a revival, that when everything is cleared up, and everything is now holy, and the churches are living holy lives, the people are living holy lives, then the Lord should have come to take us out. I know this tonight, He's coming before that. I want us to have revival, but brother, this world is not going to have a worldwide revival to get ready for Jesus. He said it's going to be a falling away. What do you say, preacher? We're living in a hurting society. A difficult time. Not only physically, but in so many other ways. A hurting society, and Christians are suffering. But he said, after that you have suffered a while. And I thought he's not speaking so much of suffering with heart trouble and cancer and diabetes and all the rest. He's not speaking of suffering in man's life because of sinfulness and what he's done wrong. He's speaking of Christian suffering for the cause of Christ. And so I want to take those few words. After that ye have suffered a while. After that ye have suffered a while. I like that. When I was preparing the sermon and read that, and I have some things underlined in the Scripture, I thought, when he said, after you've suffered a while,
I believe Peter was telling us, or maybe the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, dropped a word in his mind and in his soul. Peter was letting us know it's not going to keep on continuing. It's not going to keep on going. There's going to be an end. God has a cutoff time, a cutoff date, a cutoff hour. The suffering's not going to keep on lasting. It's not going to take place forever and forever. He says, after you have suffered for a while. Thank God. Thank God. In the 8th chapter of Romans, Paul said, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Let me use an illustration. If you put all the suffering right here, and all the glory of eternity over here, and begin to compare them, I want you to know that the suffering doesn't even begin to compare with the glory. Let me leave something with you tonight. When the glory comes, when we have received the glory yonder, and we've climbed with the crown of glory yonder, I want you to know all the suffering will be forgotten. Amen, amen. Compare it tonight. All you've ever gone through in life, whatever's happened in life, all the suffering you've ever gone through tonight, but then compare it with what it's going to be on the other side when we see God in the glory of our brother. It will seem as nothing. When we come to the end of the way, the songwriter said, "Oh, the toils of this road will seem nothing when we come to the end of the way." Thank God, thank God. After ye have suffered a while, a while. In that day, suffering will not only be ended, but it will be done away with. Peter tells us in the 10th verse that suffering for Christ's sake will have run its course. It will have ended. We will have been perfected. We have been established. We have been strengthened. We have been settled in the Word of God. We have been called into eternal glory at the time He was actually saying there is a better day ahead. I want to try to preach tonight for a few minutes about the thought of whatever we're going through, whatever's happened in our lives. There is something better. There is something better. Amen. Brother Jones, I've heard that all of my life. Don't give up now. Don't give up now. There is a better day ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I often think of the military. I guess I've got some military blood in me. I didn't know a whole lot about marching when I went in the Air Force. I just having marched in the Hampton High School Band. And brother, that was not very much marching. But I remember as we're marching and we're trying to stay in the right ranks and everything, stepping on the heel of the one in front of us. I remember going through the close sort of drills and all the rest. I like that type of thing. It got in my blood. But listen tonight, I have found out that I am in the army of the Lord, and I look ahead of me, and up there on the right hand side, leading the flight, leading the army of the Lord, is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the right God. If you've ever been in the military, the man that is called the right God, the flight is focused on Him, and He's leading the way, and everyone lines on Him. I want you to know tonight, I've seen the Lord, and He is the right God, and we're following Him, and if we'll stay in the ranks, we're going to cross the finish line with victory. Amen, 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 amen. What a God we're serving. Yes. Listen to this. Sometimes in the basic training, people took a 10-mile hike. In the Army during the Second World War, they walked from Fort Eustis. Army. Infantrymen. Walked from Fort Eustis to Grand View. Set up tents, bivouac. Spent the night and walked back. Heels blistered. They let them sit down for a moment. And they would sit down in front of my house sometime. Right out there on the curb, and their feet were, their heels were blistered. Having walked all that distance, listen closely tonight. There are no blisters in following the Lord. Everything's working out just right. I don't mean there's no hardships in serving God, but listen, it's going to all be finished one day. We were taking our longest hike in basic training. Can you imagine? 3 miles. That's tough. And as we were marching, it seemed like we hadn't taken such a trip, such a hike. It seemed like it was a long way. Sometimes in our lives, this might seem like this is a long journey. But after ye have suffered a while, That means that it's not going to last. God's got a cutoff date. Just after a while. How does that verse go in Hebrews? I can't remember now exactly how it says it, and I can't remember what chapter it's in, but he said just in a little while. In just a short while, he will come. He that shall come will come. You remember that verse? In just a little while. I know sometimes it seems like it's been a long time, and there's a lot of heartache and problems and difficulties. But in just a while, he says, after ye have suffered a while, and if I can just get that across tonight for every one of us, in that 18th chapter, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us in that day. Something will be ended, and Peter tells us in this 10th chapter that there's a better day ahead. Think about it, if you will. Those like Paul, who have fought a good fight, those like Paul who have kept the faith, those like Paul who have walked in the light and obeyed God and served God and be diligent about the Lord's work, there's going to come a day, man, when we're going to receive the glory. We're going to be crowned with the glory. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for it here, but in that day, hallelujah, we're going to put on a glorified body and be crowned with the crowns of glory and be with the Lord forever. Brother, that's something to shout about tonight. That's something to be before tonight. We're going somewhere. It's almost here. There's better days ahead. Thank God. Thank God. So let me give a word of encouragement tonight. Whatever your lot in life, whatever the hardship, whatever the suffering, whatever the problem, whatever the trial, whatever the difficulty, whatever the trouble, whatever you might be going through right now in this present hour, I want you to mark it down. God has a time limit on that very thing. It is going to end. It's going to come to an end. Until that day, until that hour, the grace of God will be sufficient to take us through to the other side. I'm going to read that verse. I've loved it ever since I preached the revival in Southern California some years ago, 1969. Course number 35. I was preaching a revival November 1969 in South Los Angeles area. While there in the parsonage, and the preacher and his wife were playing some music, Christian music, and he said this song was sung by a trio of ladies in my home church. I want you to hear it. And they began to sing, "Oh, His Grace is Sufficient." Three elderly sisters. And God anointed them, and I never heard that song, I don't know if I'd even heard it or not, but sung that way with God blessing them, and they worshiping God, and they were singing, "Oh, His grace is sufficient for me, and His love is abundant and free. And what joy fills my soul just to know that His grace is sufficient for me." Listen to these words. "Many times I'm tried and tested," and we all are. "As I travel day by day, oh, I meet with pain and sorrow. And there's trouble in the way. But I have the sweet assurance that my soul the Lord will lead. And in Him there is strength for every need. Oh, His grace is sufficient." Whatever you're going through, whatever happens in life, whatever comes our way, remember this tonight, you can make it a little while. After ye have suffered a while, there's victory out there. We can make it by the grace and help of God. Can you believe that tonight? We can make it by the grace and help of God. I preached that revival that I mentioned. And then later on, I was asked to preach a revival in the home church of that young minister. So I went to that home church where he was raised, and those same three elderly ladies were there. And then during that revival, I requested that they sing the song. And they did. And it was just as real in that revival as it was in southern Los Angeles and southern south part of Los Angeles sometime earlier. What do you say, preacher? I'm saying whatever you go through in life, whatever happens in our lives, whatever comes against us, the grace of God is sufficient. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. God's grace is sufficient after ye have suffered a while. After he has strengthened you and established you and settled you and got things worked out in your life, he said there's glory awaiting. There's something awaiting on the other side. God has placed a time limit on your problems and your suffering. There will be an end. And until that day, his grace will be sufficient. And regardless of how dark the past has been, and regardless of what you might be going through tonight and how difficult things are, our future is as bright as the promises of God. I was sitting last night in the den. My wife had already gone upstairs, and I read 1 and 2 Thessalonians and 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And as I was sitting there reading, I thought, how many times I've read that and how rich Paul's writings are, lets us to know with all that he went through in his life, all that happened to him, Paul kept the victory. Paul had joy in his soul. He worshiped the Lord, thankful for the blessings of God. And whatever we might be going through the night, after ye have suffered a while, regardless of how difficult it might be, there is glory awaiting. I'm going to read the 10th verse one more time. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and forever. He is perfecting us tonight. He is establishing us tonight. He is strengthening us tonight. He is selling us in the Word tonight. And he lets us to know. And I'm going to go back. I did not jot it down, but the first verse he said, and also a partaker, I am an elder and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. In the fourth verse, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In the 10th verse, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and forever and forever. I want to read the words of a song. Then we're going to end with a course, and I'll find it. I want to read the words of a song that we don't sing now. Living in his presence and in true accord, daily I am working for my blessed Lord, sure that he will give to me a rich reward, and that glory is coming soon. Often I am weary and at times depressed, longing for the homeland and its joy and rest. But each day I'm nearer to that country blessed, and my glory is coming soon. At the shining portals he my soul will meet, with a word of welcome and a smile so sweet. Then, oh, then with rapture, I my Lord shall greet. Yes, my glory is coming soon. And if you have heard the song, if you have heard the song, if you've sung it, it's a chorus with four parts. The lead part, the alto part, the tenor part, the bass part. Then we were singing as growing up in the church. And then quartets would sing it. The lead part says, glory is coming, and it won't be long. I'll be singing that grand, glad new song. I'll be faithful and brave and strong. Glory is coming, and it won't be long. The alto said, surely it is coming, it won't be long. I shall soon be singing the happy, glad new song. Yes, I will be faithful, always brave and faithful. Glory is coming, and it won't be long. And the bass gets down real low, and I'm not going to sing it. But I want you to know this tonight. Glory is coming. Glory is coming, and it won't be long. After ye have suffered a while. Let me just leave something. Then we're going to sing a chorus. I did not know Brother Starling. I met him when I came home in 1952 and met my future wife. But I didn't get to know him. I saw him in church, but I really stick around the house. I didn't know him. And then when we got married and he had a stroke, we spent some 3 years in England and he had a stroke and all the time suffering, suffering, suffering. One time as he was a part of this church before he died those last years, he said to me, "I cannot remember a day without suffering. When I wake up in the morning, when I go to bed at night, there's suffering every day, every day." I did not know how to. I did not know exactly to understand because I have had relatively good health all my life. Just before he died, with all that he's going through, and I leave this with you tonight, because, folks, whatever you're going through, God's good. How many times he came to church when he didn't feel like coming to church? How many times when people would get in the altar to pray and he would come around to pray with them, and then he would tell me after it was over, his son-in-law and his pastor, "I wish I could pray like I used to. I give out. I wish I could pray with them like I used to." And he's right there in the altar with them, doing everything he could, trying to help them to pray through and to touch God and receive from heaven. Suffering, suffering, suffering every day. And I imagine the Lord was whispering and saying, "Sheel, after a little while, after suffering just a little while, it's going to be over." And I remember the day when we took him to the hospital. We didn't think anything was that bad. The family went, they took him to the hospital, to Hampton General. And they took him in, and we'd been with him and had prayer with him. And we came out, and they were going to do some things and take him down for some tests. And we were sitting out there, and in just a few minutes, a man came up, and I didn't recognize him as the chaplain, but he was going to give us some words of comfort, and I didn't realize what was going on. But he had the doctor to come, and he was there, and he said, "He's passed away. He's gone," just like that. We had no idea that he was that close. But maybe God has spoken to his heart and said, "Sheel, after suffering just a little while, glory is coming." When he breathed his last breath, I want you to know he was ushered into glory. He has not yet received the rewards concerning the deeds done in the body, but he's in the presence of God. I haven't made it yet. I'm still striving to cross the finish line with victory. I preached Sister Starling's funeral. I helped preach my daddy's funeral. There's going to be another day, and I'm going to leave this with you, and we're going to sing. What a day that will be. How does those seven words, do you have your Bibles open? Can you read the middle of that 10th verse one more time out loud? Anybody have it? After, how's it go? The middle of that 10th verse. Say it again. After that ye have suffered a while. After that ye have suffered a while. Now, I am not here to tell you tonight that God is saying suffer a little longer with that physical ailment or what have you. He's talking to those that believers that were persecuted. After you have suffered for the cause of Christ, there's going to be glory. There's going to be another day. There's victory ahead. What a day that's going to be. After ye have suffered a while, whatever you're going through tonight, listen to this. Come on to the piano, honey. Listen to this if you will tonight. I've said it over. I'm going to say it one more time. God has already settled it. Everything has already been planned. It was planned in the council meeting of glory before the foundation of the earth, before the foundation stone was laid for the earth, rather in the council of the Godhead, it was already planned that Jesus would be the way, that there would only be so much time, and there would be cut off time, and then there would be glory. Brother, we are getting close to the end. Glory awaits. Glory is coming. And it won't be long. I love to hear the bass say, way down, here and here, here and here. And then he gets higher in the bass part. I love that song. I love to hear it sung. The Lord is coming. And it won't be long. Hallelujah. We're almost there. Whatever you do, hold on to God. Serve God. Love God. We're going to pray one with another tonight. Asking God to help us. And then we're going to pray like we did last Sunday night. Earnestly. For the services next week, God, I want your presence to be so real that thy will be done in every one of our lives. Thy will be done, God, in the lives of everyone. Will you stand together with me? Oh, it's coming and it won't be long. What a day that will be. What a day that will be. Sing it with us.